Well, this morning and turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 16. And if I may, while you're turning, I want to remind you, if you have a cell phone on, let's make sure that that cell phone is turned on vibrate or turned all the way off so it does not interrupt the service. If for some reason, as a result of an emergency, you must step out, I'd ask that you use the back doors to step out, not this front one. And if you do re-enter the auditorium, re-enter from the back. And then ushers, you help me. If people do re-enter, find them a convenient place to set toward the back. The preaching of the Word of God is the ultimate thing that will take place at a church service. And so we certainly want it to get proper attention. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 16. Would you stand with me, please? 1 Samuel chapter 16, starting with verse number 16. The Bible says this: Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is cunning, player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants, and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse, and said, Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread, and a bottle of wine, and a kid, and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul, and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. That will help us with the sermon. The sermon's title today is this: Don't Trouble Your Troubled Spirit. Don't Trouble Your Troubled Spirit. Father, bless us now with thy presence. God, you could save someone's life with this simple sermon. I pray, Father, that you would reach deep into our hearts, past the surface of our behavior. Reach deep down in our hearts today. Encourage people, instruct people. Holy Spirit of God, do a supernatural work, please. Give us proper attention to the Scripture, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. The story that we just read is Saul calling for David to help him with what he calls a troubled spirit. Saul was the king of Israel. He was a big man. King Saul stood head and shoulders above all the other people. Saul started out as a king, and he was a very decent king. He seemed to want to please God. The Spirit of God was upon him, according to 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse number 6. But Saul's leadership became insincere. To be honest, he became greedy. Saul became disobedient to the Scripture and to God. Then Saul, the king, hurts himself by not following God's order in regard to the giving of a sacrifice. And I tell you what was happening. If we won't read the story, it's found in 1 Samuel chapter 13, the first 13 verses. But God's people were about to go to war with the Philistines. At that time, their preacher, their prophet, was a man by the name of Samuel. A sacrifice was given prior to going to war, and that would get God's blessing on the army. Well, Samuel wasn't available at a moment, and so only the priest or the prophet, only the priest could give that sacrifice. Well, Saul got impatient. He wanted it now, and Saul decided he was going to give that sacrifice himself. And God strictly forbade that to happen. He said, that's never to happen, but Saul did it his way, and he had become cocky about it, and later on he blamed the preacher. He said, well, had you been here, this wouldn't have happened. Well, the truth of the matter is, Saul was guilty. And then God said, Saul, you started out so well. Your attitude has changed, and you're not handling things the way that God would have you to handle them. And God said, I'm going to reject your leadership. Saul, you find out that Saul ends up getting jealous over the success of David. You remember David slew Goliath, and wasn't long because of many of David's victories. One day they were coming into town, and the women and the men and everybody was singing about how Saul has slain his thousands. And Saul said, I like that. They're all singing about me slaying thousands. He's a victor. The second verse of the song, though, they did not like, because the first verse was Saul has slain his thousands. The second verse of the song was that David had slain his tens of thousands. Saul heard that and he said, I hate that song. He liked it at first, but when he found out that he didn't get to be at the top of the totem pole, didn't get what he wanted, it turned out that he had a bad attitude about it. And the Bible says, in his heart, then he decided he was gonna get David. And so Saul's revenge, and it's all starting in his heart. God then commands at another time the destruction of a group of people called the Amalekites and all of their animals. Well, Saul practices partial obedience, and Saul ends up where God said, I want you to just wipe out everybody and everything, and Saul did not do it. He did destroy, but he spares a king by the name of Agag, and then he spares a few chosen or choice sheep and oxen. And so now he's lying to himself, and he ends up lying to God's man about his obedience. And in 1 Samuel chapter 15:26 it says, And Samuel said unto Saul, so the preacher's talking to Saul, he said, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. Now, he's really making a mess for himself. This man that stood head and shoulders above everybody, he was a great man. Now he's disobeyed, did it his way. He's got revenge in his heart. He's really messing his life up. And it says in verse number 35 of 1 Samuel 15, it says, And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Now, what it does, that doesn't mean that here the Bible says the Lord repented. I want to clarify something. God never sins. The word repent there means that God changed his mind. God repented. In other words, he changed his mind about Saul and his blessing Saul and God's position of king for Saul. In verse 15 it says, And Saul's servant said unto him, Behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Well, Saul does all this. He doesn't act right. He doesn't behave right. He doesn't do what he's supposed to do. And now it talks about an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. You say, does God put evil spirits on people? Well, what it really means is an evil spirit came. You understand that everything that comes your way as a Christian has got to go across the desk of God and be approved before it can come to you. God's not going around casting evil spirits on people. The devil came and God said, sure, if you want that spirit to trouble Saul, we'll do it. And so a evil spirit comes upon Saul. And God calls it a troubled spirit. They're trying to figure out how to get this taken care of now. Saul has worked himself into a mess emotionally, and now this spirit, God said, I won't stop that spirit from troubling you, Saul. So now he's dealing with that spirit, and they're trying to figure out how do you solve this. So someone said, what you need is you need someone that can refresh your spirit. You need someone that can come play the right kind of music and get your heart and your spirit straightened out. Well, if you were listening to the story, the person that they called upon was a man named David. And they sought out David. David played a harp. And David was a spirit refresher. And so David comes. Here's a man with a good spirit. And here's a man that God chose. And now he comes to play his harp, to sing, and to try to help Saul with his bad spirit. Now, there were a lot of people that played the harp. They needed somebody that was a spirit refresher. David was one that helped someone's spirit, not someone that damaged other people's spirit. So David, they said, you know what? We want David because he will help the spirit of things. He will help Saul's poor spirit. In 1 Samuel 16:23, it says, And it came to pass, when that evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed, and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Hey, let me tell y'all something, and this isn't the sermon. Which are you? Are you a spirit troubler? Do you trouble other people's spirits? Or are you a spirit refresher? You know what every wife needs? Every wife needs a husband that is a spirit refresher. You know what every husband needs? Every husband needs their wife to be a spirit refresher. Hey, in the church, are you the one that helps keep the spirit right in the church? Or do you damage the spirit of the church? Well, in this case, Saul had a spirit problem, and now, you know, it's affected his spirit. And now God said, David, you are a spirit refresher. Go and help that situation. And he did. Now, again, let me tell you something. There are a lot of people they could have called upon to help Saul, but they picked David specifically. They were trying. You know, do you realize that if they called the wrong person and the wrong kind of music and somebody with the wrong attitude to try to help Saul's spirit, they would have made it worse. Saul did not want his troubled spirit troubled further. He was trying to get that troubled spirit taken care of. So, with proper planning, Saul's troubled spirit was fixed. And might I say this, and let me warn all of us, people who have troubled spirits are the ones who eventually trouble the church's good spirit. You need to get your spirit lined up. You need to make sure that your spirit is right with the Word of God and that you're submitted to the Holy Spirit. But the whole goal of the sermon this morning is understand Saul had a troubled spirit. Yeah, you could say his attitude was bad. Or you could say Saul was facing some depression and it needed to be cared for. And the last thing he needed was for that depression to be complicated, increased. The last thing that he needed was that his troubled spirit be troubled further. Thus, you get the title of my sermon, Don't Trouble Your Troubled Spirit. The devil would like to trouble you more and multiply your bad attitude and multiply your depressed spirit. And I'm going to tell you some things today that will help you so that you do not trouble your already troubled spirit. You say, what do you feel would trouble the spirit? Doesn't matter. Whatever's troubled your spirit, where your attitude's not right, whether you're depressed or angry or whatever it is, you shouldn't want that to get worse. You ought to want that to get better. So Saul wanted his troubled spirit to be refreshed. He didn't want somebody to come along and trouble his troubled spirit further. Stay with me. Don't trouble your troubled spirit with the wrong kind of music. You know, in Psalm 69:12 it says that they sat in the gate speaking against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. You understand something? Do you understand that if you are troubled in life and you're troubled with something right now and it's affecting your attitude and affecting your spirit, the dumbest thing you can do is have the wrong kind of music in your life. When the music that Saul, do you know what Saul, when Saul called upon David, he wasn't rocking and rolling trying to help David's spirit. That would have made his spirit worse. There's some of you, you're going to have to learn something. If you really want the healing of your spirit, you better get the right kind of music, spirit healing music involved in your life. You see, you get depressed, so you go turn on your radio and you go back to the old music that you should have given up a long time ago, and you think that that's going to take care of it. Well, let me tell you, first of all, your God is big enough to heal you, and you don't have to run to the world's music to try to figure out a way to encourage yourself. In essence, you're going to discourage yourself. You know, you turn on your rock and roll where they're talking about getting high, getting drunk, getting wild and crazy, and in inappropriate sexual behavior, and you really think that's going to help your spirit? No, you don't ask at the time when you're down for music that will get you down even further. Don't trouble your troubled spirit with the wrong music. Bad music is a spirit troubler. Depressed people are often guilty of depressing music. Or, hey, there's some people, you've just had so much bad music in your past, boy, it gets to you. You listen to enough, and you know, our minds are like recorders. You could have heard a bad song 10 years ago, but still know the lyrics of it. Now, folks, if you don't want to be depressed, if you don't want to have a bad spirit, I would recommend to you that you get the right kind of music in your life. You know, you know that most country music is going to talk to you about getting drunk, sleeping with somebody else's wife. There's so much stuff in it that will get you down and get you depressed, and we're all sitting around the bar drinking in our beer, and you know, you picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille. You say, I would really like to get encouraged, preacher. Then get encouraging music. Music that tells you about heaven. Music that tells you about God. But there are people in this house, you listen to discouraging music and worldly music, and your rap and your rock, and you listen to all that, and then you wonder, why is your spirit weak? Why is your attitude so weak? You know, listening to rap music, we're talking about killing cops, and we're talking about robbing banks, and you think that's going to encourage you? What it does, it feeds your flesh, but your flesh is what got you discouraged in the first place. Don't trouble your troubled spirit. If you've got a troubled spirit, if you're having attitude issues, if you're depressed, if things are not going well, don't run to the wrong musician. Saul got the right music, and it encouraged him. He worked his way out of his troubled spirit with the right music. You know, secondly, don't trouble your troubled spirit with depressing reading material. Don't trouble your troubled spirit with the wrong reading material. Let me read to you from Revelation chapter 1, verse number 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and that hear the words of this prophecy, and keepeth those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. It's talking about the Bible. But it used the word blessed. The word blessed in modern day vernacular would be equal to our word happy. Happy is the person that reads the Bible. Unhappy is the person that doesn't read the Bible. Look, if your spirit's troubled, you say, preacher, going on in my heart and my brain, I'm whacked out, I'm depressed, I'm down, I'm discouraged. Well, whatever you do, don't read the wrong things. Because you will make your situation worse. You say, how am I going to get out of this? Read your way out of it. Say, read my way out of it? Yeah, your psychologist won't tell you that. Read your way out of it. You say, where am I supposed to read? Start in the book of Genesis. You say, how long am I to read? You read until you get your heart right with God, if that's what you must do. Someone asked John Wesley, said, how long do you read your Bible? He said, I read it until it begins to burn in my heart. And some of you, you've got others, you've got things burning in your heart. It's lust, it's hatred, it's depression. What you better do, you better fight the fire with the fire and take the fire of the Word of God and let it purify you. But if you are struggling with your spirit, you had better read the right things. The Holy Spirit would be very troubled if you're reading the wrong Bible. You know, today they might as well have the Bible of the Month Club. Well, I'm convinced that the King James Bible is the inspired, preserved Word of God, and we ought to stick with it. And I wouldn't be grabbing everything that they call a Bible. Get you a pure Word of God and let it help you. It will help you, and it will cure your troubled spirit. Hey, depressed person, how's your Bible reading? Hey, despondent person, how much have you read your Bible? And you can fool me, and I can fool you, but you won't fool God. There are people here, you're down, you're discouraged, you've got emotional issues that you should not have, but your Bible reading has been set aside, and if you'd like to fix it, get right with God. Read your Bible. You're depressed about your marriage. So you go on the internet and you read trash about marriages. say, my marriage is a mess. So you're reading the romance novels that are full of trash that you shouldn't be putting in your head. You wonder why your marriage is not being encouraged. Well, what are you reading? Negative reading creates a negative spirit. And it used to be that we would read books. The average person hadn't read a book in so long. We can't even get them to read their Bible. But now we spend our time reading emails and Facebook. Do you know how much filth is available on Facebook? I'm not saying Facebook is all bad. I'm saying there are bad things on Facebook and you ought not be reading them. No, and you shouldn't be writing them. Y'all okay? Look, you want to read trash that will depress you, and you wonder why your emotional status is getting worse rather than better. Yeah, you heard the old term, and I don't know if they use it anymore. They used to, when the computers became far more popular, they used to use a term called, they said, garbage in, garbage out. You put garbage into a computer, garbage is going to come out of the computer. Can I tell you something? There's a more complex computer than your Mac. Sorry to some of you. Your brain. And let me tell you something. You put garbage in your brain, garbage is going to come out of your brain, and you put garbage into your emotions, and garbage is going to come out of your emotions, and some of you are putting garbage in your music into your brain, and you wonder why you are the way you are, and then you put garbage and the depressing reading material in your brain, and you wonder why you have such a hard time getting out of the mess. Hey, don't trouble your troubled spirit. Hey, don't trouble your troubled spirit with your thoughts. Don't trouble your troubled spirit with wrong thoughts. Listen to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. The Bible says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's what you're to think on. You say, I've got a troubled spirit. I've got a troubled attitude. I've got a depressed attitude. Hey, let me recommend something to you then. You better watch what you think about, or you will trouble further your already troubled spirit. There's some of you, you trouble your spirit today with your past failures. Did you know something? If you failed in the past, whether it's with your finances, or it's with your job, or it's with your marriage, can I tell you something? If you failed in the past and you asked God to forgive you, He did. So the devil comes along and you get a little troubled today, and the devil comes along and reminds you of your past troubles, and he wants to drag your past troubles into your present trouble and multiply them. And what God said, you put that behind you. God said, I forgave you for that. Stop bringing it up. Why? Well, you're troubling your troubled spirit, your failures, your lack of accomplishment. You say, well, preacher, I'm depressed today, and then I got to thinking about how I didn't accomplish what I wanted to accomplish in the last 10 years. If you're not careful, you will take your troubled spirit of now, whatever caused it, reach into the past, grab lack of accomplishment from there, drag it into the present, and now you have multiplied, you have increased, or you have troubled further your troubled spirit. Hey, can I recommend something to some of you? I know it's those that are a little older do this, but I want to tell you something. I wouldn't spend all your time reading the obituaries. You know, people pass, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but you want a good way to depress yourself? First thing you do is get up in the morning and read the obits. Think about dying and death right away. Well, you're really doing yourself a favor. Stop hashing and rehashing your past failures or somebody else's past failures. We have enough to deal with today emotionally. Why would we want to trouble our troubled spirit? And we do that with our thoughts.
We do that with our thoughts of failure. That's why he said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Hey, you take that and stack it up against your rock music and your country music and your rap music, and you take it and stack it up against your harlequin romances and half the trash that you can get off the internet, God would say, stop thinking that way. You are depressing yourself. You're making yourself worse. Don't trouble your troubled spirit. Number four, may I say, don't trouble your troubled spirit with depressing television. Job 31:1, Job said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Now, this obviously is telling a man, and Job said, I'm not going to look at a woman to lust after her unless she's my wife. So those of you that men that have issues with pornography, knock it off. It's a sin out of hell, and you're destroying your thinking. Destroying your thinking. But Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes. You know what that means? Picture the cartoon. Job had a talk with his eyes. You ever seen the cartoon? Big old set of eyes and nothing else, just a big old set of eyes. And Job had a conversation with his eyes. He said, hi, eyes. His eyes looked back and said, hi, Job. Job said, eyes, you're not going to do what you want. You're not going to look at what you want. We're going to make an agreement. I'm going to base the agreement on the Bible. And the Bible tells me what I'm to look at. Yesterday morning, I was running the bus meeting, and we sang a song with all the workers. And the song goes like this. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Job said to his eyes, we're going to get a contract, and you're going to look at what I tell you to look at. You're not going to do what you want. You're going to look at good things and pure things and wholesome things. And so, folks, let me tell you something. If you're struggling with your spirit, don't make it worse. Don't trouble your troubled spirit. There are so many troubling things available to you on television. I don't know that everything on television is bad, but there's a lot of stuff that's depressing, and a lot of stuff will steal your good attitude from you. You know what they've done? They put so much misbehavior on the television, they have desensitized us to it. And now, every program, they're going to teach us another sin that we used to thought was putrid and nasty, and we watch it as entertainment now, so we're not bothered if they legalize it. You say, well, preacher, you know, when they put that stuff on there, it doesn't depress me. It shows you how bad your mind is. Look, if you're depressed, or you're having a tough time, and you're struggling with your attitude, and you're struggling with your spirit, if you go to the television and you start watching shows about all the bad in this life, crime scene investigation and law and order, you know, some of you, that'll keep you awake at night. You already have an attitude problem. You already have a spirit issue. You already have a certain depression. If you go to the television and you watch all the negatives and all the nasty, look, some of those, there are talk shows that you should not be putting that trash in your head. Did you know that sin is not to be our entertainment? Whatever happened to Gilligan's Island? Back when God was God. You know, Andy Griffith, Gomer Pyle. All the Old Testament prophets. The Beverly Hillbillies. Little House on the Prairie. Lucille Ball. Where if they weren't married, they didn't sleep in the same bed, even on television. You know what's on there now? So much filth and depression. And we wonder why we're popping pills trying to figure out how to take care of our attitude and our spirit. Well, maybe if we'd stop popping bad TV and stop popping the past failures and popping the depression music and popping the romance novels and all the trash we put into our heads through the pornography, maybe we wouldn't be in such bad shape. You say, well, it didn't affect me. Some of you have no idea how much you have corrupted your attitudes with the trash that you put in your head. You can live in denial all you want, but you're ruining yourself. Don't trouble your troubled spirit. Y'all okay? See me if you want to join the church afterwards. You can sign one of my bananas. Hey, listen, don't trouble your troubled spirit with depressing people. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. My goal in life as a pastor, and by the way, as a Christian, I want to encourage you. You say, well, you're really doing a good job this morning, Pastor. And I'll tell you something. If your pastor loves you, he's going to try to help you dig yourself out of the hole. That's what he'll do. At the cost of you disliking it, I want to help you. But look, you're going to have to be careful. Now, I'll tell you something. I've always felt bad. What I'm going to tell you is this. Be careful. You get around depressing people, they'll wear on you. You say, but my mom is a depressing person. What do I do? Well, since you're 4, you can't move out. Well, let me say to everybody here, look, there are people, and I don't mean this unkindly, but we all, you know, when you live in someone's house, we all affect each other. God knows some of you need to change your spirit. There are people that are trapped there. And when I say trapped there, I mean, you know, we just don't leave. If Mrs. Owens is having a bad day, I can't just leave her. If as a dad I'm having a bad day, my kids just can't pack their duds and hit the road, Jack. That's not what we do. We live in the same household. But wow, doesn't it make it difficult when somebody's got a bad spirit in that household and you can't get away from it? But there are some people that have troubled spirits and bad spirits that we can limit our time with. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Saul called for David. You know what David was? He was a spirit refresher. Saul said, give me that David guy. He will help my attitude. He didn't call on one of the flunkies with a bad attitude. Hey, are your friends right with God? Do your friends' lives refresh people spiritually or depress people spiritually? Are your friends critics? Gossips, negative people, hate your church, want to hurt your church? Folks, I could help some of your marriages. You know that, did you hear the verse that I read to you a moment ago? It says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Husbands and wives are supposed to be friends. Not just husbands and wives, friends. We are to sharpen one another's spirits. Not sharpen the knife that you'll use to stab her in the back or to stab him in the back. We're to sharpen one another's spirits. Doesn't always work, but if Mrs. Owens is having a tough day, I usually try to make her laugh. There are sometimes she'll say, I don't want to laugh right now, and I think, I better go to my room. But that's part of what we're to do. We pick each other up. But folks, remember this. If you're having a rough time in your spirit, in your attitude, and I'm not trying to describe all the causes of that. I'm trying to say to you, if you're having a tough time, you're down, you're depressed, that there's something going on in your attitude, don't trouble your troubled spirit. There was a lady at church I used to pastor. She came to see me. And I would say she probably one of the most depressed, negative people I had ever met. She came to see me. And she said this. She said, thank God for my friend. I said, hey, who's your friend? She told me. The name she gave me was the most depressed person I'd gotten around. I'm thinking, well, it's no wonder lady number 2 was such a mess because her best friend was lady number 1 who was a mess. Listen. Don't trouble your troubled spirit. And here's what I would say to you. You got friends and associates and people, and I'm talking about Facebook, You don't have to be in the same room with them. It could be through texting and Facebook and emails and blogging. But let me tell you something. I'm not telling you you have to be mean or curt or rude, but there's some of you need to start limiting your time with negative people. Some of you go to work and you wonder why you hate your job. I'll tell you why you hate your job. You sit with the people that mock the boss, that hate the company, that don't like to be at work, and you wonder why all of a sudden you've got an attitude that you want to get out of this joint. Maybe if you'd stop running with the critics, you wouldn't feel that way. Amen, Pastor. Tell the truth. I will. And I'll tell you when you'd be glad to hear somebody say that, when you're the boss and you do the hiring. So I don't like my job. Well, I wish you'd get used to it and like it, but if not, quit your job and go start your own company. Hire us all. Pay us a big bucks. I said that to many a person. But flunkies can't do it, so they ought to keep their mouth shut and be satisfied where they work. Wrong sermon to preach the week before the membership drive. I'm going to have people coming taking their banana peel back. That's right. Hey, don't trouble your troubled spirit. Let me give you a couple others and we'll be done. Of course, you know how preachers lie about that. Don't trouble your troubled spirit by depressing time usage. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:19, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. Here's talking about accomplishment. Folks, accomplishment is sweet. There's something about accomplishing things that will encourage your spirit. I tell people this, people go through a tough time and they have a catastrophe of life come on them, and I say, you got to stay in your schedule. Don't be calling off work all the time. Come to church. Go to work. Stay in schedule. Why? Because if you don't go to work, you know, your paycheck's going to have a day missing on it, and that's going to depress you. But proper use of time is encouraging to people. Depressed people are often people who are not accomplishing anything. For a man, if a man takes a hit, and one of the things that will affect his spirit is, can I go forward? Can I accomplish? Can I achieve? And so what do you do? Well, don't throw in the towel. Start achieving. Start working at it. Folks, time wasters, people that waste years and months. But let me explain. You know that people that waste years are people that waste months? Did you know people that waste months of their life are people that waste weeks of their life? Do you know people that waste weeks of their life are people that waste days of their life? You know people that waste days of their life are people that waste hours of their life? Did you know people that waste hours of their life are minute wasters? What some of you need to do is trace it. Some of you have wasted years of your life. You better start reclaiming some of that back, because lack of accomplishment is depressing to a good Christian. Now, there might be a couple lazy rascals in here. You don't care whether you have a job. You don't care whether you succeed. You don't care whether you're going forward. And you're just lazy. You got a problem. You're not right with God about your assertiveness. But most of the people in this room, you do care. Accomplish something. Clean the house. Go forward. So this is what we do. We get hit and some depression comes on us, and your solution is this. I'll go to bed! You might need a couple extra hours of sleep, but do you know how many people depress themselves right into bed and don't want to do anything? Then they look over and see all the dishes. They're piled up weeks worth. Oh, it depresses me. Wash them. Look at all the laundry. Oh, that depresses me. Wash it. Oh, I've been so depressed I haven't cleaned the house. Clean it! I'm so far behind on my bills I just haven't taken time to pay them. Pay them! I don't have a job. Get one! Look, don't trouble your troubled spirit by adding to it. Procrastinators are depressed people. There's always a better day to get it done. People, you procrastinate your tithe, your soul winning, your changes of life, your duties. I don't think everything on the television is sinful, but I will tell you this. It's a time waster. I don't think everything about video games is bad. But I'll tell you this. When I see adult 30 and 35-year-old men that can't seem to pay their bills, but they have time to play with their little game. Oh, I got to the next level. Well, goody goody gumdrops, and you can let everybody else in America pay your food stamps for you, bud. The internet. You know how much time people waste on the internet? You know what some of you could accomplish if you would just get your nose off the internet? I think they call it surfing, don't they? Is that, they still call it surfing? You're just hanging in on the internet. You've got the same job position that you had 20 years ago. You barely make it now, and you were barely making it then. You're depressed with your life, but you got so much time to spend on the internet, it's incredible. Say, what do you think I ought to do? Shut it off. How can I function? I don't know. Ask Abraham Lincoln. We're almost done. Hey, don't trouble your troubled spirit. Don't trouble your troubled spirit with unfinished tasks in life. Paul said in Acts 20:24, he said, I finished my course. I'll give some of you some very good advice, and I've got to hurry, and I've got a couple points I got to slip in here, but let me tell you. Unfinished tasks will depress you. Some of you just need to finish some things. You know, you started that project at the house, you finish it. You started your marriage, finish it. You started raising those kids, finish it. Stay busy. Keep your mind busy. That car, fix what needs to be fixed. Finish the task. Let me tell you this. Don't trouble your troubled spirit by disobeying God. This is a big one. That's one of the biggest things that sent Saul into his troubled spirit, into his depression. Psalm 51:3, the Bible says, For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. This was King Saul's problem. He was disobedient. And as a result of it, his disobedience quenched the Holy Spirit in his life. Well, when you quench the Holy Spirit in your life, now you're going to have a troubled spirit. Listen, do you know how upset people get when I throw a fit about being faithful to church? The people that get upset about it are not the faithful ones. The people that have a troubled spirit when I talk about faithfulness to church are the ones that were not faithful to church. Disobedience to the Scripture. Look, don't trouble your already troubled spirit. You can trouble your troubled spirit by unconfessed sin. Psalm 51:11 says, Cast me not away from thy presence, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Let me tell you something. Did you know that you can virtually confess your way out of depression? There are people in here who are depressed. You're trying to figure out why. Have you confessed your sin? I've watched depressed people get on their knees, get right with God, and say, God, I'm sorry. Get up with a smile on their face and have a different attitude. You are troubling your troubled spirit. Let me give you one more point. Don't trouble your troubled spirit with poor social skills. Now we're talking about treatment of people. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Look, folks, when you mistreat people, you are going to end up having a troubled spirit. Now, let me tell you, if you already have a troubled spirit, don't make it worse. Don't trouble yourself further. I will recommend to you that you not go around making enemies all the time by your poor behavior, whether it's by being hateful, self-centered, full of pride, vengeful. You allow bitterness to creep into your life. You say, I'm down, and I'm a bit depressed, and I've got a troubled spirit. So what do? You make everybody mad at you. You thought that was going to fix it? Be careful using self-centered judgment. Somehow we always make our decisions on how everything affects me. It shouldn't be that way. Listen, I'll tell you the thing that will fix
a person in regard to their troubled spirit faster than anything. And that's this. If you're not saved, if you'll get born again, that can clear up a troubled spirit just like that. There are all sorts of people out there that have never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they're suicidal. I mean, they're bummed out. Their life is over and a bit worthless. And so, you know, if your life is over and a bit worthless and you're saved, you're pretty backslidden in spirit. The lost people have a reason to feel that way. Because, see, they're on their way to hell. If you're here today and you're not 100% sure if you died today, you go to heaven, let me give you a good recommendation. Trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you are going to find a hope, and you're going to find there's a spirit that comes along with salvation. But to stay lost, you say, I'm troubled and I'm not saved. Don't trouble your troubled spirit any further. Get born again. I call the sermon, Don't Trouble Your Troubled Spirit. We all go through troubles. Sometimes we make them worse and worse and worse and worse. We just trouble and multiply it more and trouble it, make it more and more and thicker and worse. You don't have to do that. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question is this. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? You say, preacher, I've never been born again. Pray for me. I do not know that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I don't know I'm saved. Would you raise your hand right now and say, pray for me, pastor. I don't know that I'm born again. Second question is this. Would someone say, preacher, I've faced some things that have troubled my spirit. Now I see I might have complicated it. I added to it. I have troubled my troubled spirit. But God helping me, I will take what I've learned and I'm going to work my way out of that. I'm going to stop troubling my troubled spirit. Who here would say, God has spoken my heart that way? Here, hands up all over the place. God bless you. Amen. You may put your hand down. Do you need the altar? If you need to be saved, you come. Do you need a moment with the Lord? Maybe you just need to do some confessing. Maybe you ought to come up here and say, God, I've made it worse, and I want to make it better, and let God see the sincerity of your heart. Hey, if you've been saved and never baptized, you want to come and tell me? Say, I want to get baptized so I can be a member, but I want to be obedient to the Lord. We're going to have an altar call. Maybe you say, I've got a troubled spirit. I'm not making it worse. But maybe you just need to come and pray about your heartache. You're welcome to come. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Are you troubling your troubled spirit? Are you complicating that part of your emotional life that's already complicated? Are you troubling yourself with troubling music? Are you troubling yourself with troubling reading material? Are you troubling yourself with wrong thoughts? Are you troubling yourself with bad television? Are you troubling yourself with depressed people? Are you troubling yourself with poor time usage, wasting your time? Are you troubling yourself with unfinished tasks? Do you trouble yourself with disobedience to God, unconfessed sin? Do you trouble your life further with your skill with people, with your hatefulness, your meanness, your evil? Are you unsaved? Don't trouble your already troubled spirit. This is the last time through the song, and we'll be on our way. God bless you, folks. Remain standing and look right this way.